I will call the January 5th Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt. Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Mayer is in a hurry. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, the city lost a good friend and employee about a week and a half ago. Alderman Mayer.
Thank you. Clark Groen was one of our captains on the Franklin Police Department. I had the honor and privilege to work with him for many years closely, and all of our employees are very good, but in life there are certain people that stand out, and Clark Groen was not only a good employee, a great police officer, like great police captain, but he was a very good person, a good, honest individual, and it was an honor and privilege to work alongside of him. All of us should be honored and privileged that he served this community, and he's a great loss to society. So if you would please join with me in a moment of silence, remembrance for Captain Clark Groen of the Franklin Police Department. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Well done, as usual. Move on to item B, mayoral announcements. Citizens' comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak? Please come forward. Give your name and address for the record.
Hello. My name is Mike Barber. I live at 7931 South 61st Street, Franklin, Wisconsin. And do I have to disclose that I'm a candidate for 5th District Alderman?
You just did.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I have to say that.
Yes, you did good.
I'd like to speak in behalf of item G11. I've been an elections inspector for probably over 6 years now. I'm not sure of the date. But I do believe that that ordinance change would make for a better, more efficient election process. It would smooth things out, and it would probably make or reduce, not that there are errors, but it would possibly reduce any error-prone situations that might come up in distributing the ballots. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Don't be bashful. Anyone else? Seeing Alderman Dandrea.
You're probably seeing me wear something that's rather unusual than I usually wear, which is a suit and shirt and tie. I've been asked by the committee of the Franklin Health Department to wear a shirt that says Operation Fit Franklin. Their mission this year is to get Franklin moving in regards to a healthier cause. They've done some studies, and they've asked households in Franklin about what they want to see out of the city of Franklin and the health department. They want us to promote programs that include physical activities, increased physical activities, education program and health fairs, food nutrition, communicable diseases and immunizations, and communication and programs. Some of the chronic illness and diseases that are top on the households: high blood pressure, high cholesterol, arthritis, cancer, obesity, hearing impairment, asthma. So think about your households and think about, and we're seeing a lot of people in blue here today, especially from our fire department. They're our first responders. They're the ones that come to our houses. If we can do a little bit more for ourselves and for our family, we can eliminate having that emergency call come to our house. The mission of the Operation FIT is to inspire Franklin residents to participate in a healthy lifestyle where they live, work, learn, and play. come up with innovative change through a grassroots community health initiative and improve the health of the community through a promotional and local activities and resources. That's what they plan on doing this year. So those of you here that are residents of the city of Franklin, please participate. It's for all our good. And the more that we have that come out, it's going to make us all a healthier community as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. One of the great things we get to do here at the Common Council is recognize exemplary employees, and we have a bunch of them here tonight. Chief Remington, would you please come forward and... let me close the system comment. And for the record, Alderman Schmidt arrived at about 7:33.
6:33.
I'm on New York time. 6:33. Thank you. Chief.
We have eight individuals who will be getting exemplary service awards at our awards banquet, which that's yet to be determined as far as date. But I thought it's important that you all know of their actions as well, and as well as the citizens, so if I could read these into the record.
Absolutely.
For explanation, we have three different level of awards. The first level is a letter of appreciation. That's for somebody who goes above and beyond, who takes on additional responsibilities or projects, or someone who stands out in an emergency call, that type of thing. Maybe not quite a life-threatening type call, but excellent patient care, excellent customer service, that type of thing. Our second level is a letter of recognition. This is for people who go above and beyond, usually on an emergency scene. Not a call that's immediately, possibly, you know, life-threatening, but has certainly the potential to escalate to that. And our third and last level is a level of letter of commendation. Thankfully, well, it sounds like it's not right that thankfully these are rare, but if somebody's getting a commendation, that means they put themselves or we as a department put them in a position where they are literally risking their life. When we award a letter of commendation, it's great for the department and the person, but we as a department also need to look at what we could have done different to avoid someone being in that situation. So we don't have any letters of commendation tonight. We have two employees that are getting letters of recognition. Actually, I'm going to read some of these as a group because there were multiple people on some of these incidents. Let me read the names, and if they can stand up as I read them. Lieutenant Tony Pachalius is not here tonight. However, firefighter paramedic Jeremy Teachin. They will be getting letters of recognition, and the following for this particular incident, which was a call this entire group was on, I believe July of this last year, and letters of appreciation for Battalion Chief Patrick Hayes, Lieutenant John Young, and firefighter paramedic Sean Behrens. I don't see Sean in that. This letter of recognition slash appreciation is presented to Lieutenant Anthony Pachalias, firefighter paramedic Jeremy Teachin, Battalion Chief Patrick Hayes, and Lieutenant John Young, as well as firefighter paramedic Sean Behrens, on this day for their heroic actions on July 30th, 2015. On that day, the Wind Lake Fire Department called for assistance in locating an elderly man that had drowned in Wind Lake the previous day in a tragic boating accident. The above-named department members are all trained scuba divers and voluntarily responded to the request for help. Working within the incident command system, the Franklin divers were assigned to search a specific sector of the lake. That area required special search techniques because of the heavy weeds in the area. Battalion Chief Patrick Hayes served as the non-diving team leader, while Lieutenant Anthony Pachalias and firefighter paramedic Jeremy Teachin were designated as the primary dive team, and Lieutenant John Young and firefighter paramedic Sean Behrens were assigned as the secondary and safety divers. The secondary dive team also worked as line tenders and provided a backup communication link to the divers in the water. Within a short period of time, divers Pachalias and Teachin were able to locate the body. Treating the victim with the respect of a family member, the crew swam him to the surface and assisted in loading him into the rescue boat. As with firefighting or emergency medical calls, sometimes we cannot change the outcome of an event, but we can still make a difference. In this case, this crew helped the family of the victim find closure. There are inherent dangers with underwater diving, and locating a victim is never an easy task. With their dedication and this act of heroism, Franklin Fire Department appreciates and is proud to recognize the efforts of these employees.
John, don't go anywhere. Got another one coming.
The next is a letter of appreciation for Lieutenant Kevin Check and Lieutenant John Young. So both gentlemen are here. This letter of appreciation is presented to Lieutenant Kevin Check and Lieutenant John Young on this date for their dedication and initiative in coordinating and providing CPR instruction in our local schools. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation is a common life-saving procedure employed by EMS providers. However, studies show that victims of cardiac arrest in the field have the highest probability of survival when bystanders initiate high-quality CPR prior to EMS arriving on scene. It stands to reason that the more civilians trained to provide quality CPR within a given community, the safer that community will be. In December of 2015, Lieutenants Check and Young worked together to organize and facilitate two pilot CPR programs. One providing instruction to a large group of Franklin High School students, and a second that trained teachers and staff at the Indian Community School. In all, over 50 individuals were trained to step up in times of emergency and to no longer be just bystanders, but to become an active, critical link in the chain of survival for a cardiac arrest victim. Lieutenants Check's and Young's efforts have enhanced the reputation of the department and have strengthened the working relationship that FFD has with other local agencies. Most importantly, this endeavor has made Franklin and its local schools safer places. This type of effort is greatly appreciated and helps to further the mission of the Franklin Fire Department.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Brown is not here this evening, but Lance is also getting a letter of appreciation. This letter of appreciation is presented to Lieutenant Lance Brown on this day in recognition of his willingness and ability in stepping in as an acting ship commander when a battalion chief was off for an extended period of time. Lieutenant Brown has proven to be a first-rate officer and has repeatedly demonstrated his ability to handle difficult situations with tact, reason, and compassion. His willingness to step up and take on additional responsibilities helped to provide a seamless transition during a difficult period. To his credit, he never wavered at the challenge, and his commitment and positive attitude were greatly appreciated. Lieutenant Brown's leadership and dedication were exemplary during this past 6 months. He is a great asset to his ship and to the department. This type of effort is greatly appreciated and helps to further the mission of the Franklin Fire Department. Lastly, one of our newer employees, firefighter paramedic Dustin Lofi, is also getting a letter of appreciation. This letter of appreciation is presented to firefighter paramedic Dustin Lofi on this date for his dedication and initiative in developing and providing training for vehicle extrications involving school buses. School buses present unique extrication challenges compared to most vehicles. Recently, the department was able to acquire a dilapidated school bus for training purposes. Firefighter Lofi developed a detailed PowerPoint with videos for the classroom portion of the training. He then followed that up with comprehensive, hands-on, practical training sessions for all three shifts. All personnel had the opportunity to triage patients and to perform extrication maneuvers with the bus in multiple positions. Realistic training of this type is rare and invaluable. While we all hope we never have to perform extrication on a school bus, thanks largely to Dustin, our personnel are now better prepared to do it proficiently. Firefighter Lofi showed a passion for this project, and his commitment to continuous improvement through training and education is unwavering. His dedication and work ethic were exemplified with this project. This type of effort is greatly appreciated and helps to further the mission of the Franklin Fire Department.
Thank you, firefighter.
If I could just say one final thing. Our department doesn't hand out letters of appreciation or recognition for every little thing like some departments may do. We take this very seriously because we have an extremely high expectation of all our employees, and for somebody to go above and beyond that already very high expectation really speaks of the people that are working here.
Absolutely correct. And Chief, my commendation to you. Giving out awards like this is truly an honor, and it shows your leadership is working. It also shows that our men in the fire department, as well as all of our employees, always thinking of what they can do better, and I thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to item C1, the December 15th meeting minutes as corrected. Alderman Willem.
I just wanted to make sure that the city attorney was okay with that, because there was some question on that item.
Madam Clerk.
If I could just back up a second. In front of you is a amendment to an item related to the ballistic fire. Acquiring the ballistic protective equipment from the for the fire department. That Chief Remington's action sheet throughout the whole item, and including the title, referred to 7 sets. His motion that was prepared at the bottom had 6. However, when he was approaching the table, I don't remember who made the motion, but they said, so move. And so the intent of the action sheet was 7, the bottom said 6. So it's your determination on whether you want to call an amendment, a correction, or you want to bring it back to the council for a future meeting. That's that item that's in front of you and highlighted. We're just calling it a corrected minutes. What Alderwoman Wilhelm is talking about is item G10. And I will... Now that we know what item she's referring to, if she wants to address the concern again.
Well, as I recall during this discussion, the city attorney made a lot of statements, and I think there was, according to the clerk, a motion made on the resolution, but then the city attorney had a lot of discussion, and the motion, as it stated, was never read into the record, and my understanding was we were making a motion based on what the city attorney said verbally, and that was the so moved, because I never heard a complete motion. However, because the clerk said she listened to tape and she said she did hear them say the resolution first and then these items got added on, I'm fine with that as long as this is what the city attorney recalls as well. And so with his approval, I'll make the motion to approve the minutes as corrected on item G6.
Second.
Mr. City Attorney. Appropriate for G6.
G10 was correct. I did go back and look at my notes and records, and that was correct as far as I was concerned. And G6 is just a correction to a number.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. You also have in front of you.
Wait, wait. Ron, was that just an amendment on the motion or that?
No.
On just G6 or the whole thing? Because I'm going to abstain. I'm going to abstain on minutes of the meeting.
All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Abstain.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion passes. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 abstention, no absent. Okay, let's move on to December the 23rd special meeting. Alderman Wilhelm.
I'd like to approve the minutes for the December 23rd special council meeting with the addition to two words on the beginning of item C1, C, no, I'm sorry, C2, C3, and C4, where it would more correctly reflect what happened at the meeting that no discussion or action was taken. Right now it just says no action. So my correction would be inserting the word discussion or into C2, 3, and 4. Motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
Okay, just so we're clear. So on the correction, C2, C3, and C4, after the word action, insert the two words or discussion. Or the other way around.
I have no discussion or action.
Okay. Okay, so.
That's simple. Just makes it easier for the audience to understand.
I'll second.
Discussion, Alderman Taylor.
I'm going to abstain from this, Your Honor, as well, but I do want to make a comment for the record, because there are some people in this community that like to write about what goes on and means that they don't attend. They have no clue what's going on with any of our lives. And I sent out an email to the December regarding the December 15th meeting that I had a family matter, a personal matter, that my stepson having a Christmas concert. And I did get a nice response back from the mayor that said, family first, okay? And then on December 23rd, we had a meeting scheduled where, not going to get into whether it was necessary or why it was done, but the reality, it was a special meeting. My father had major surgery on the 30th. I had my brother in town and his girlfriend from Ohio, and we had some plans for dinner that evening. Once again, family first. So the people that want to write about things in this community that know nothing of what's going on or comment on some of these blogs should mind their own business or put their name on a ballot, because, frankly, it's unacceptable. And that's why I was not here. I didn't need to have to discuss that, but I'm going to.
Okay. Motion on the floor. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderwoman Mayer. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Abstain.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Motion carries. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 abstention, no absent. Move on to item G1, reports and resolutions. A resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for the Matt Talbot facility.
I'm actually going to want to ask that this item be tabled. I wasn't aware that this was going to be on the agenda, and I'm frankly not comfortable voting for something like this. It's a controversial issue all the way around, and I want to be able to understand what is in this, and I just got back into town today and haven't had a chance to look at it, let alone ask staff some of the questions that I have. So I would just rather table this until probably the first meeting in February.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Mr. Deedle, any issue with that? Okay. Been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
That's to the next meeting?
No, first weekend. No, first one in February.
Oh, first of February.
G2, an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance standard SIC table to allow trucking except local in the M1 district. Alderman Wilhelm.
The map is difficult for me to read, and I am a little bit concerned about the the M1 overlay that's off of Rawson Avenue, does that, would that affect that area, which we're looking at as part of redevelopment or new development?
Okay, Mr. Deal, but further, I'll point out that this is a special use. It's not a permitted use. So anyone that wanted to do a trucking would have to get approval of the council. Mr. Deal?
Yes, this would apply, potentially apply to all the M1s in this, including those next to the quarry on Rossman. But as the mayor correctly stated, this would just allow the opportunity for somebody to apply for a special use. That's a separate public hearing, a separate approval they would still need.
And you're apparently comfortable with this because you're recommending approval.
Correct.
You put a lot of thought into this and you don't see any downfalls to that, or you'd like to share it with you?
Potentially there could be, but we feel comfortable that special use adverse impacts on surrounding properties. If it's an extraordinary amount or exceptional amount of trucking, that could be a potential concern, but the special use conditions would allow us to say no on issues like that.
So how do we just had a special use and that didn't go especially well. So could you begin to recommend that a concept review be done with a special use? Because once it goes, the typical process now goes to the plan commission and then it comes to the council, and by then they've already put a lot of money into it?
We do, whenever we think something's controversial, complex, or large. If the council expresses concerns with anything trucking related, we'll pass that along to all the applicants. And then as it stands, though, the concept reviews as the development review team meetings are both optional. But we do, you know, either mildly recommend or strongly recommend, but it's the applicant's choice.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Mayor.
How did this wind up coming to the plan commission?
One of the properties, there's at least two properties within the industrial park right now that under the old zoning code had this kind of use allowed. But if that use ceases for more than a year, they lose that grandfather. They were grandfathered in. But they both had, at some point, ceased or stopped that use for more than a year. They lost it. They have difficulty bringing other kinds of uses that do are permitted uses in the M1. Trucking companies like those two properties in particular. So then one of the property owners came forward asking for this UDO text amendment. At the Plan Commission, the other property owner attended the meeting as well. Neither one spoke during the public hearing, but they were in attendance. So the history is, under the old zoning code, these were allowed as special uses. When the city adopted the UDO, we used those SIC codes specifically for this one type of trucking company. It was not allowed at all anywhere within the city. But if they would have kept that use and never stopped, they would have been grandfathered in. These two properties once did have those uses, but they didn't stop it.
How long did they have the use, the special use?
That I don't remember. I believe it's been a while since they've had it. I know one of the properties in particular has had trucking companies come in, some of which fit under this category, without any approvals. They get caught by the fire department when the fire department does a inspection. We start the enforcement process or give them the option to try to do a UDO text amendment. Neither of those businesses nor the property owner had ever pulled that trigger until now.
Was your question the amount of time that elapsed or the amount of time the trucking has been there?
The amount of time that the trucking had been there. I mean, was that just something that had come?
60.
So they've been in there since Franklin.
Different kind of trucking has. The one that is no longer allowed, I don't know how long it was, but it was while when we adopted the UDO, they would have been grandfathered at that point. That was 1998.
Was there any discussion at the Plan Commission meeting regarding just allowing it for that industrial park where those facilities already were?
Nope. We'd have to create some kind of new category because right now the UDO is structured only by zoning district.
So we'd have to create an overlay or something like that to separate some M1s from other M1s. That means we'd have to pretty much go back to the beginning and start over, or the applicant's work.
Alderman Schmidt?
So the applicant then is applying for a special use, a different type of use than what it would have had if it had been grandfathered in previously?
If this gets approved, one of those property owners, at least, probably both, will then start the process for a special use for their properties in particular.
And the special use be something other than what it had been zoned for?
So it would be similar to what they once had an approval for a long time ago. It's not similar to what they've sometimes had more recently. What they've had more recently is all different kinds of trucking, some of which are allowed for special uses, some of which would have fallen under this category. But every time we bring it to their attention that you don't have an approval, either it's not allowed at all and you'd have to do a UDO text amendment, or it's one of the trucking, local trucking, which is allowed but with a special use, that they walk. That company just walks. And until now. Finally, one of those property owners pulled the trigger.
So by approving the special use now, it would be a blanket coverage for the current uses that they're...
No. Everyone who's grandfathered, if something changes, if their use lapses, they would also have to come for a special use. We don't know how many there are. We only know about these two because we've had these enforcement issues. If they continue the use, what it was allowed as a special use, and never cease, never come to any compliance problems, we often don't know that they're there. It's only when the fire department finds out that they weren't originally approved. Because the fire department has enough information to say it's the same company that was originally approved. They know that. They can find that out. It's only when the name changes or the company changes that they call us, and then we find out.
What we have here is two companies doing the right thing.
Right. Trying to do it legally through the process.
Your action regarding this item?
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance number 2016-2 to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 4213, Trucking except local, to allow for such use as a special use in the M1 Limited Industrial District. Elvin Spellman, managing member of the T&E LLC applicant.
Second.
Discussion and a motion. Alderman Mayer.
I guess if that motion goes through, I would want there to be an amendment to it or an addition to it that says that they should come in for a concept review.
Mr. City Attorney.
Concept reviews are not required by the Unified Development Ordinance. As Candido indicated earlier, they're optional. It's really up to the applicant. No requirement for a concept review.
But if the council asks for that, is that not that a requirement?
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, through the years, I used to, at every concept review, remind the applicant and council members that a concept review is just that. There's a statutory process for rezoning. There's a statutory and local code also for subdividing. And someone on these concept reviews could possibly make an argument that there's a certain amount of prejudgment going on, and it's only a concept review, it's not a statutory process, and all the detailed applications have to follow, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why there's no motions at concept reviews. So I think you require concept review appearance by an applicant. I think you're theoretically or potentially running a following of statutorily required process for rezoning.
That illustrates one of the reasons why 2 years ago when I took office, my instructions to staff were that the project tracker from the planning department get distributed to all of them. It was not previous. It's specifically so you can see what's going on, and if anything catches your eye, you can have a conversation. Because project trackers are updated weekly, and sometimes even when a project walks through the door. So that's timely. Fairly certain that a trucking operation would not slide by, as it were. Any other discussion or motion? Alderman Willow.
Mr. Veal, can you give us a little history on these, how these were grandfathered around? I mean, you did a little bit about the grandfather issue, but why wasn't it included as a special use now or back then? And that I understand now is because they expired, but I don't know. I'm looking at the map, and I'm just not 100% comfortable with this. In some sense, it makes sense to do this, but you know, we have the looks like a crossroad area up by St. Martin's. Is that? I'm trying to.
Where are the ones on Forest Home, north of Rawson, and then on Rawson by the quarry, possibly some by the landfill.
Knipples Curve and certain building products, 76th Street.
Okay. So, but historically, the old zoning code, as you may recall, the old zoning code was the old-fashioned way, just common sense English. Category, trucking. All trucking. That's all there was. So all trucking was a special use. With the UDO, now we got half a dozen different kinds of trucking with those SIC codes, some of which are special uses, one or two of which are not allowed at all. And this happens to be that one or two that's not allowed at all. So that's how it was historically addressed. All trucking was a special use. Now, most trucking is a special use, and one or two are not allowed at all. Unless this is approved, then there might be one left. It's not allowed.
In the language that's except local, what is that determined?
So it's there's another, so one of the other categories is local trucking, which typically is the smaller trucks, panel truck types. The definition doesn't go into that level of detail, but from a wheels on the ground kind of standpoint, that's what it usually ends up being. Local trucking tends to be the smaller panel trucks. Long distance trucking, which this is, would be more likely to be size semis.
And what's the process for these companies that are requesting this if we don't approve this? What would they have?
Those two property owners would have less options for people to put into those buildings. So then they would not be able to have these kinds of trucks. And the way we find out is most of these companies fill out their tax records where they have to identify what their NAICS code is for tax purposes. That information is available online, and we can find it, and then we convert that back to the SIC code, so we can find out what kind of trucking we are by SIC code. So whenever the fire department catches somebody that they don't believe was allowed there, we verify that. The property owner will be notified, and then those types of trucking companies have to leave. And then those properties would be a little bit more difficult to find a tenant.
In these particular areas, has there been some historic complaints, nearby neighbors, some reason why someone might object to this in the future if it stayed the same?
No, but at least for these two properties that I'm aware of, no, other than that they just never applied for a special use for a UDO text amendment before. We're not aware of it.
Is there a method where we could do this just in this particular business district and not citywide?
As I mentioned, the one thought just right now, hadn't thought of it before, an overlay district would be one possibility. But we'd have to do a separate UDO text amendment to create that. We'd have essentially have to start all over and then identify an overlay district for just those M1s that we would want this used to be.
I would be a lot more comfortable. I know it's a little more work, but I think we're opening up the special use issue, and then it becomes you know, the 3-3 vote and the politics involved, and I just don't think that's the best way to approach this. I'd be more comfortable with an overlay district than I would.
One other thought, and that is a possibility, but one other thought is, because we did anticipate that there could be some concerns, and we talked about it at staff level, but the final decision that we reached is, whether it was looked at in detail at the time or not, the UDO does allow truck terminals, which is what we thought would be the council's most of concern. Full-fledged truck terminals are a special use in the M1. And that would be a more intensive use than these trucking, not local. So an overlay district is a possibility, but truck terminals, which probably are more intense, are already a special use.
I don't think this is going to get my support at this point. So I would really like to see you come up with something that would be a little bit more protective for the other areas. That's right.
Again, this is two business owners, well, one specific business owner and a friend across the street doing the right thing, playing by the rules and making their operation legitimate, but no different than it's been for the last 35 years, Elvin?
Since 1985, and then the building was built in 75 for trucking.
Yeah, so.
And I bought it in 85 and used it for renting to trucking and dispatching offices until 08, 09, when we lost our renters for a number of years, and we got a renter again in 2014. I wasn't aware that there was any change, and I wasn't aware that I had to do anything different because we've done it since 85.
For the record, that's Elvin Spellman of Spellman Trucking. So, you know, I understand concern and all of that, but this is just making things right. It's not losing control by the Common Council by any means. It's just making things right. There is a motion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I don't have any objection to these particular ones. That's why I was suggesting the more overlay district that is another option. It's not just making things right. We are opening up all other areas that are zoned that, if you look at the map, we're talking about more than, I think, six other areas in the city. So while I'd like to say it's just making things right for these particular properties, it goes way beyond that, and that's a little further than my comfort level. So I'll just vote no, and everybody else.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. This doesn't set a precedent, right? I mean, I know we all like to use that. This doesn't allow it anywhere else. If anybody else wanted to do this, they'd have to come to this body and get permission. So, I mean, I don't see this being political or worried about 3-3s. I mean, we do have, you know, I don't think we'll have many 3-3s up here moving forward, but
this
I mean.
This is the last meeting.
Well, that's true. Well, you could have 3 because it was an odd number, but no, it was 2-2, that's right. Anyways, I don't see this opening a can of worms, but I understand the Alderman the third maybe does, so I'll support this.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman
Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Motion carries 4 ayes, 2 noes, no abstentions, no absence. Move on to item G3, status update from the quarry monitoring, Mr. Deal.
Fairly short council action sheets in front of you. Early last year, the council made a motion approving a number of changes quarry-related, one of which included another status report. To be done in a couple months. At that point, the city attorney had done a few things, so that condition was partially addressed. Nothing significant had been done since then until we're starting some work. The quarry monitoring committee is starting some work, fairly significant work on a reclamation plan and the contract for monitoring for this year. So I thought it was an appropriate time to bring this forward again. Quarry Monitoring Committee has looked at this, made a few technical changes, and that's what's in front of you tonight.
Alderman Wellham.
Yeah, I've been chairing that committee. Alderman Schmidt sits on that as well with a couple other residents. One of the things that I think that's important for the council to know is the details of this reclamation plan. It's going to be a very important document, and it might be in their best interest to have them get a draft of that early on rather than wait till right before the meeting and then expect them to try to wade through it all and get their questions on it, because there is quite a bit to it, quite a bit of understanding. One of the questions that Mr. Bennett had previously was a water level issue. That was one of the reasons that was stalled from being passed last time around. So will the lake fill up as it's required? I think as Payne and Dolan had their consultant say that, but I think Mr. Bennett didn't necessarily agree with that, and it kind of got shelved and really didn't go too far from that point. So just to, I would really encourage you all to start reading that and maybe taking a look at what other communities might be doing and how you would envision this, because eventually, probably when we're all gone, we will be leaving our municipality with a community park area and a lake, and you want to think about the future of what you want around that area, how you would envision it to look, how your constituents might like to see their community look in the future after we're not in our seats.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, I would just like to concur that this reclamation plan is something that everyone should be aware of on this panel because of the scope of this project when it is eventually, when the mining has ceased and it does fill up. There's always speculation out there by the residents of what's going to happen to that property eventually, which eventually will make some great lakefront property probably the next lifetime or something. But it would be germane for everyone have this as a reference material, and other than that, I would suggest that we place this information on file and congratulate Joel for his diligence in pursuing this.
Is there support? Second.
Second.
Discussion. Alderman Wellham.
Well, we do need to continue to bring forward the that reclamation plan, which it will be coming forward, and also the quarry monitoring contract is something else that has to come forward. So I don't know if it's strictly placing the entire project on file, but maybe to continue to place the item on file as far as agreeing with it or approving with it, but there is continued work to be done on the items. And one of the items is discussion with a consultant on how we will be handling and tracking the complaints that come in, which Mr. Beadle has kind of been doing on a spreadsheet. There might be some future discussions on how the contractor might be able to better assist us with that. So that will probably be coming forward with the contract and then the reclamation plan. There also is the other zoning code requirements and permits that was in the quarry committee recommendation plan. I think that one will be a longer project for the quarry committee to be working on. I don't see that one coming forward real quickly, but just so you know that one.
Again, discussion on the motion, which is to table, place on the file. Alderman Mayor.
The reclamation plan, is that going to go before the Parks Commission and the Environmental Commission?
Alderman Mr.
I would follow state regulations and whatever is in the PDD. The reclamation plan would go to plan commission and council. The contract goes straight to common council. So the monitoring contract goes straight to the common council. The reclamation plan is referenced in the PDD, so it would go to the plan commission first and then to the common council.
Okay, I understand about the contract, but I'm just thinking about for the long-term planning for the reclamation, shouldn't that go to the park commission?
Eventually, yes, but one of the unique things in the PDD is, and which is different than the state statute, is it doesn't want us to finalize the end final land use around the quarry because it acknowledged that the standards for development, erosion control, grading, who knows what, could change. by the time the quarry is ready to finish, and we're going to do something else with it than what it is today. So the PDD specifically acknowledged that and said that they didn't want to identify a final end land use. So right now, it's zoned for a quarry. It's used as a quarry. Even the comprehensive master plan for the city says it's a quarry. Although Payne and Dolan no longer says when they think it'll be done, finished and closed, it's probably going to be at least a number of years away. And the reclamation plan is supposed to be updated periodically for any changes to what we would want that land around the quarry to be used for. Inflation costs for the cost of closing that quarry up, or if we want to change what we think is going to go around there. So for right now, the PDD envisioned that the quarry would fill in, and we'd probably just as a placeholder identify it as park, but also acknowledged that that could change and didn't want to tie us to anything at this point in time. So I thought that was a good idea. State statute, though, encourages us to come up with a final land use for that now, and then if we have to change it later, change it later.
And what's the current time projection? I've heard various.
They won't say. Many neighbors have said the quarry used to say, before I was here, so at least 10 years ago, 35 years. But they no longer say it. They've never said that since I've been here.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of clarification on the motion.
Which was the place on file. Is that correct?
Does the motion prevent additional action in bringing forward? Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion, place on file, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G4, 5, and 6 are kind of all tied together. Mr. Liberto.
In front of you, I put an updated sheet that identifies the use of impact fees and provides more information than was previously available, or that we previously had on the sheet. In that regard, I would like to apologize to the mayor and aldermen and women and the city clerk and the city attorney for the need for the special meeting on the 23rd in an attempt to ensure that we had impact fees all used in the appropriate timeline, and that process in pulling that information together in December before the holiday, I had sort of failed to ask the right questions that would have identified that we had some outstanding purchase orders that had balances that we could pursue and push to get paid out in December that ultimately enabled us to resolve the issue, the immediate short-term issue in December, although we still have issues before us, and they're on your agenda today. So we have had some internal discussions to ensure that we can use our new PO system to identify these more promptly and make sure that doesn't happen again. And we've changed the reporting format as in front of you to show all those approved contracts and purchase orders and the remaining balances so that you're all aware of the status of payments on contracts that you have approved. The document before you has two sides to it. The front side says up in the top right-hand corner.
Excuse me, Mark, how do we know which is the front side?
That's the thing. It's the one that up in the top right-hand corner says relates to items G, 4, 5, G, 6, and G7. Has a little text box in that corner. It's the landscape presentation. So the top portion of that simply takes the same information that's been provided at a number of meetings and shows the amount of impact fees collected back in 2006 and the need to spend them, and identifies that need. Below, there's a section that shows the open purchase orders, the amount of the purchase order, the impact fee portion that we anticipate to that will apply based upon the percentages as approved in the study, and then when we expect those payments to occur. Note in that section does identify that it assumes that bridge design, which is item G6, is approved at today's meeting. Those two things taking place, just for informational purposes, we identified some other options at the bottom of the page and identified the appropriations that are in the approved budget in the box at the bottom right corner of the page so that you had basically all the information before you. On the flip side, I've tried to lay it out a little more clearly, exactly what could happen. You can see from the top we have the balance of February's 2006 collections and then March 2006 and a portion from April. We've done some preliminary review and we know that the April portion is not more than $16,194 of the total of $68,000. We're trying to narrow down some if we can. That identifies the extent of the issue to be addressed in each of the next 3 months. So in this January, additional expenditures of $49,529 of impact fee or uses need to occur. Approving item G6, which does save the city some money because the contractor has agreed to a 5% reduction if we provide advance payment. That, in addition to what we anticipate coming for a partial payment from the engineer doing the Section E, the College Avenue pathway, will resolve January's immediate need. In February, I've listed there the four payments on existing POs that we anticipate will come in January, January or February, and resolve that. That would leave a need that needs to be addressed. The easiest, cleanest way relative to each of these items, and we could bring it back at the next meeting, would be to work with an existing project that's already approved and the contract that's in place, and the vendors already, contractors already indicated a willingness to participate in the same contract amendment for advance payment for a 5% reduction. And we could do a portion of the advance payment to Wilcombe, who still has some work to do in the spring relative to Franklin Woods. We could advance 75% of that, and they preliminarily agreed to a 5% reduction, which would reduce the overall cost of the project for the city by about $7,000. That net advance would have a net advance of $134,000, which would, at the 36% impact fee, would resolve the amount necessary for both the February and March. And then if a subsequent resolution is adopted prior to April 1st, or April 10th, excuse me, we would then be able to add an additional 3 years to everything after that point. And the issues for the immediate need of use of impact fees would be resolved. So the two cleanest ways to do it without having to push any additional projects forward, just merely advancing payments for contracts already awarded, which in both cases would actually save us money, is to approve item G6. And then if no action is taken on the other ones, staff will understand that the Common Council is expecting us to bring back a similar action to the next meeting for the excavation work and work left on the contract for Wilcombe and Franklin.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Okay, I'm looking at the sheet, which I wish I could have gotten this a little earlier. There's an awful lot of information. Two pages of really small numbers that I'm supposed to decipher and make decisions on tonight. But one thing I can see is regarding the 5%, there are two projects that have advanced payments for contractors for a 5% savings. That's great. The There was a motion made on November 17th and December 15th regarding the College Avenue issue to discuss those negotiations and contracts and adding on to the project. Did anyone discuss with that particular contractor if he would accept an advance payment, or was that no phone call made on that?
We don't have a contract with anyone for that construction. What we tried to identify was ways...
That wasn't my question. My question was did anyone talk to the existing contractor that would be working with the DOT on if that project could be a payment made? Now, there was a previous motion that said to go work with the county and start working on those contracts. That was done in November. We are now at January. So we should have at least, if we're looking for 5% on savings, we should have at least made that phone call. That's my point. So the answer is no. No phone call was made regarding that project, correct?
With all due respect, Alderman, I don't believe that's a fair question. Because not having a contract, I can't call somebody and give me a 5% cost off of nothing. What we did do, up until the December 23rd meeting, we worked on what at that point was our viable option, which was the land transfers. When we thought that wasn't going to happen, in 3 days we pulled together other options and tried to bring them for you to December 23rd, and I apologize that we found an alternative that came up on the 21st and 22nd that eventually rendered that meeting unnecessary, but that took us right up to the holidays. We're back now. I met with the city attorney, and before we can work with that, the city attorney has agreed he needs to resolve with the county, and he suggested he would do that himself.
Well, let me
sure right.
let me read
finish, please. He has to resolve the manner in which that contract with that contractor is going to occur, whether it's going to be with us through the state directly, where we would have an ability to have that discussion, or whether it has to be as us with the county and the county separately with them based upon the nature. So the city attorney is going to address that. So directly calling the contractor in advance of the legal determination of the strategy that has to be used, particularly in cooperation with the county, it wasn't a moot question for addressing, it wasn't an answerable question for presentation on this issue. So it doesn't preclude that in the future. What this tries to do is say what we can do right now with things.
Well, that would be 100% valid if I hadn't already talked to the contractor who gave me a price that would get us almost up to where we're meeting it now. And the question still could have been asked to him, would you do a 5% if it could have been paid early, if the details could be worked out? And it's, like I said, it was December 15th and November 17th for us to have the opportunities to work out those details. So I guess I'll rephrase the question on as far as what would be the savings that would be lost if we don't add on to the project, because we have a really good opportunity to extend that project with a contractor who has boots on the ground, equipment there. And if we miss that deadline, we are going to increase our costs. And I believe it to be probably much more than 5%. So to me, it seems like it would behoove us to start making those phone calls regarding that project. So then I just have a question on the back sheet where it shows on the bottom of the landscape version. It says the... some projects may need a 2016 budget modification, and I know it's not College Avenue project because that one it's in the budget for $350,000. Which one of those do require a budget modification?
My intent with that was to cover sort of all scopes, and that's why we put the appropriations we had next to it. So if it's other, if it's an expenditure other than one listed in the 2000, in that adopted 2016, the park expenditure other than one listed in those approved appropriations, then we would either have to do a budget modification or use the contingency appropriation. If it exceeds the contingency appropriation, then a budget modification would be.
So the ones that aren't listed in the list over here,